Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be here tonight?
Amen.
And what a wonderful occasion to celebrate 50 years of the church and that man's ministry at the church. And I said this to Brother Bob, and I mean this. When you look at Brother Enos, you're looking at the real deal.
Amen.
No fake, no phony, the real thing.
Amen.
And brother, you have not only been the pastor of this church, but you have been an example to, I love saying this, younger, what are you laughing at? Younger, the other generation. And man, to be able to say that for 50 years, he didn't have any money scandals, no opposite sex scandals, no texting relationships. I mean, kept himself clean.
Amen.
And his reputation spotless.
Amen.
And brother, I salute you. In the name of the Lord. My friend, Brother Thurman McLamb, sitting back there, said me a while ago in the presence of this preacher that he knows of no man in this part of the country that's been any more dedicated to the Lord, to his ministry and family, than this dear brother. And that's saying something, because Thurman's 200 years old, and so that's really saying something. And then I'm glad to have with me tonight Brother Billy Canoy. Wave at me, Brother Billy. His dad was Billy Canoy, Dr. Bill Canoy from Greensboro. And Billy and I have been friends for a long, long time. And I flew up to Greensboro. He picked me up, drove me here. I'm going to spend the night with him and go home in the morning on the 6 o'clock flight. Go straight to the pulpit with toothpicks in my eyelids and slap anybody that tells me they're tired. That is one word we don't let the staff use, and that's tired. I'm tired. No, we're just lazy. Say amen right now. Man, I wished I could be here tomorrow to hear my friend Max Barton preach. And the last time Brother Max and I were together, it was a snowstorm. And I mean, we was up there in Pennsylvania. And me and Brother Max came to the agreement. No wonder them Yankees want to move out of that godforsaken place. Say amen. But man, I'm honored to be here. I've enjoyed the times I got to come to the camp meeting through the years. And I am honored to help you celebrate 50 years of ministry together. And I'm telling you, it's going to be great. And preacher, I love you in the Lord. And I told somebody this last night. In fact, I told Chris Haslam, the little, you know, quiet guy that preached here last night. I wish he'd break out of his shell, don't you? But I told him last night, the greatest sermon I ever heard on Christ, our anchor, was a Thursday morning, 1994, in the morning service of Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting. He preached, Brother Enos did, on Christ, our anchor. And I guess I need to confess, I preached that all over the country. Most people thought I come up with it. But I'm telling you, I appreciate a man that will preach the Word of God, because there is no substitute for it. And I appreciate his wife helping him, holding up his hands. And it's just a blessing to be a part, and I'm about to cry, of the family of God. Man, praise the Lord, all of this and heaven too.
Amen.
I appreciate the goodness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 tonight. And in a few moments, I'm going to use verse 6 as a text. But let me introduce it with a couple of statements. I believe the Bible tonight because it is true. I believe the Bible because it is inspired. I believe the Bible because it is accurate. I believe the Bible because it is faithful. I believe the Bible because it is eternal. It's not a word from God. It is the Word of God. And I love my Bible tonight. But another reason why I love it, it's beautiful. Some of the most beautiful language that you'll ever read is found in the pages of the Bible. I mean, think about this. With that controversy, great is the mystery of God. Man, that's beautiful. Isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Man, that's beautiful. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Man, that's beautiful. And there is a phrase found in verse number 6 tonight. Not only a true phrase, a faithful phrase, but to me, it is beautiful. And a friend of mine was preaching through this passage with me one night. And it's one of them little phrases that just crawled off of the page and got a hold of my heart. And it won't let me go. And I believe the Lord wants me to give it to you tonight, because I believe this is exactly what has happened the last 50 years in this ministry. Let's read it tonight, and I'll emphasize the little phrase. Paul writes the church at Corinth in chapter 16 in verse 6. And this is what he says. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you. And here's my phrase. Sit with me. That ye may bring me on my journey. Say that with me again tonight. That ye may bring me on my journey. Paul said, you're not going to push me. You're not going to pull me. You're not going to drive me or drag me. But God is going to use you in my life to bring me on my journey. They say that little phrase was a guide's term. When he would take a traveler by the arm and hand and stay with him through uncharted territory, making sure that he reached his destination. But aren't you glad for the people that God put in your life? Not to pull you and drag you, but to hold you by the heart and arm and hand and bring you through uncharted territory and staying with you till you reached your destination. I'm glad for those in my life that have brought me upon my journey. Every time I read this verse, I'm reminded of a picture I saw one time of a big old snapping turtle sitting on top of a fence post 6 foot off the ground. There was a caption under it, and it said, I didn't get here by myself. And there's no one in this room tonight that has gotten where you are by yourself. God has put people in our life to bring us on our journey. Every time I read that little phrase, I'm reminded of the poem that all of us grew up with called The Footprints in the Sand. How the man died and he looked over his life and there were two sets of footprints. And the man said to the Lord, what are those two sets of footprints? And the Lord said, one is yours and one is mine. My child, I have walked with thee all of the days of thy life. But the man noticed when he came to a dark place and a deep place and a difficult place, there was only one set. And he looked up at the Lord and he said, Lord, why did you leave me when I needed you the most? And the Lord said, my child, that one set of footprints is not yours, they're mine. That's when you were so weary and weak, you couldn't make it on your own, so I picked you up. Mm-hmm. So I picked you up, and I carried you through. How many of us tonight would have made it this far had not God put somebody in our life to pick us up and bring us upon our journey? You realize tonight in the text who is making this statement. It's our friend, it's our preacher, it's our fellow laborer, the Apostle Paul. And notice that little phrase, my journey. And when you see that tonight in the life of Paul, my journey, it speaks three things to me. Number one, that was a trial that he had to face. You go home tonight and read 2 Corinthians 11. where Paul strolls down memory's lane and he reminds us of all the trials and the troubles he had to go through in his ministry. You'll find phrases like this: I've been shipwrecked, I've been stoned, I've been beaten with rods, I've been beaten with stripes, I've been in peril on the land and on the sea, and by thieves and by my own countrymen. Paul knew what it was to go through the fiery trial of his faith. But nowhere in his life does he ever get bitter. Nowhere in his life does he ever blow out. And nowhere in his life does he ever turn back. He made it through the trials that he had to face. You know why? Because he was not forsaken. He was not abandoned. He was not alone. God put people in his life to bring him upon his journey. That dear man could write a book. Nobody would believe it, but he could write a book on the trials that he had to face. And I promise you, that man right there is not a fly by night. Because I promise you, if he had been, he'd have flown a long time ago, because there's been some night seasons. And no one's going to serve the Lord without troubles and trials. But I'm glad we pray together and we fight together and we work together, and one day the trumpet's going sound and we're going home together. Amen. The trials he had to face, God's people were going to bring him upon his journey. That speaks something else to me tonight. My journey, that was a task that he had to finish. Here is a man that God had called to preach. Here is a man that God is going to use to give us 14 books of the New Testament. That is, if you believe he wrote Hebrew. And here is a man that God is going to let stand before papas and princes and even kings and declare the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. Here is a man that God is going to let leave his footprints in the sands of time. Here is a man that God's going to have people talking about him 2,000 years after he is dead. And if you don't think this man left an imprint on society, he's been dead for 2,000 years and we're still naming kids after him. Paul. I ain't never met nobody named Judas. I pastored a few of them. I ain't never met nobody named Demas. I pastored some of them too. But I've met a bunch of Paul. In fact, down south, we love that name so good, we put some T's and some E's and some L and I and N's, and we name our girls after them, Pauline and Paulettes. Here is a man that had a task that he had to finish. And yes, at the end of his life, he could say this facing death: I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Yes. You know why he could do that? Because God had put people in his life to bring him upon his journey. That was a trial that he had to face. That was a task that he had to finish. Number three, that was a thorn that he had to fight. Boy, that was a thorn in his flesh. And it was a real thorn, an unremovable thorn, and a painful thorn. But it was not an unbearable thorn. But yet in the midst of everything Paul went through, he kept his joy. And he kept his testimony. And he left behind a wonderful example for all of us to follow. You say, how does a man do that? Well, I'll tell you this tonight. He doesn't do it alone. God put somebody in his life to bring him upon his journey. And let me ask you this tonight. If Paul the great preacher and Paul the great prayer warrior and Paul the great man of God needed somebody in his life to bring him on his journey, how much more do we need people in our life to help you and I and bring us upon our journey? I appreciate the 50 years my dear brother in this church has labored for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church couldn't do it without him, and he couldn't do it without the church. So God gave them one another. How about the shout right there? And they have rolled each other upon their journey. And what a journey it has been. From the dry cleaning building to what we got here tonight. What a journey it had been. From the young preacher that somebody no doubt said he probably won't last long. To this dear, and I didn't say old, but aged, mature. I'm going to get it right in a minute. Man of God that every young preacher around here looks up to. What a journey that it has been. He has brought the church through the fire, and the church has brought him through the fire. He has brought the church through dark times, and the church has brought him through dark times. He has brought the church through difficult times, and the church has brought him through difficult times. And here we stand tonight praising God and thanking one another that we're not abandoned and we're not forsaken and we're not deserted, but God put somebody in our life that has brought us upon our journey. Well, you think about this tonight. If you bring somebody on their journey, you get to go too. And you think about this tonight. If you bring somebody on their journey, you get to go to the same place that they're going. And all of us tonight owe our lives to somebody that God put in our lives to bring us upon our journey. For the next few moments, I'd like to call Brother Paul to stand here beside me. And I'd like to interview Paul just for a few moments. And I'd like to ask him, Paul, can you put a name with that face? Paul, can you name somebody that God literally used in your life to bring you on your journey? And only Paul would answer that something like this. I believe we would say, absolutely, Brother Joe, I can name several people that God used to bring me on my journey. Yes. Who is it, Paul? I believe he'd say, well, number one, first of all and above all, I thank God for Barnabas. Why, Paul, why do you like Barnabas? I believe Paul would say, I just like what his name means. Well, what does it mean, Paul? It means encourager. It means son of consolation. Paul, what do you love about Barnabas? Paul would say, he has a master's degree in encouraging others.
That's right.
I've met some people that had a master's degree in encouraging others. And I'll be honest with you, I've met some people that had a PhD in discouraging others. Boy, there are some people, if you feel good, you don't need to be around them. Because in about 2.5 seconds, you're as mad and mean and bitter as they are. I guess I told you about that policeman. He was walking the beat one night. That was a man standing on a bridge getting ready to plunge beneath his watery grave. And the policeman said, oh my sir, don't do that. Sit out here and let's talk a while. And after they talked for 2 hours, they both jumped off of the bridge. Boy, thank God for the Barnabases in our life. You know why Paul loved Barnabas? Listen to this. When you first meet Paul in the Bible, he's not even Paul. He is Saul of Tarsus. And by Saul's own testimony, he was not just a sinner, he was the chief of sinners. By Paul's own testimony, he wreaked havoc in that early church. Paul was a despicable, lost, immoral human being. He had given the first part of his life to stamp out the church in its infant stage. He was a man that was vile and wicked and wretched. But one night on the Damascus Road, something got a hold of him. He met God that night.
Amen.
You remember the old country gospel song? I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me.
Amen.
And you say, what did God do for Paul that night? He knocked him off his high horses. And he went down a sinner and he came up a saint. And he went down a persecutor and came up a preacher. He went down a critic and came up a champion. While if anybody could say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's Paul. God revolutionized his life. Brother, when God saved Paul, and when word got out that Saul of Tarsus had been saved, nobody believed it. It must have been a bunch of Calvinists. Can I get an amen right there? Why, they just couldn't believe that God could save somebody like Saul. You understand, when you mention the name Saul of Tarsus, grown men trembled. When you mention the name Saul of Tarsus, women cried. When you mention the name Saul of Tarsus, little children ran and hid. Just the mention of his name brought fear and dread. Now he's been saved. You know what? They were so afraid of him, they wouldn't offer him the right hand of fellowship. They were so afraid of him, they wouldn't open the doors of the church. He wasn't good enough for them. Boy, they just couldn't get over the fact that God can reach further down, whoop, than an old sinner can reach. Man, one day Saul is in a solitary place. There comes a knock on the door. You know who it is? Barnabas. Brother encourager, son of consolation. And he puts his arm around Paul and said, you come with me. My dear brother, we live for God this way, and we pray this way, and we read the scripture this way. And he brought Paul to that early church and said, open the doors of this church. Give this man the right hand of fellowship. He's our brother in Christ. He's experienced the grace of God. And tonight, all of us have heard about Brother Paul, but I promise you, without Barnabas, we'd have never heard about a Paul. God used Barnabas in his life as a young Christian.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, you remember being a young Christian, a babe in Christ. You didn't know all that much about the Bible and God and how to do. But God put a Barnabas in your life.
Yes,
I won't ever forget Brother Thurman over there telling me about when he was a young Christian. God let him meet John Long and A.G. Wall and those men that taught him how to tithe and taught him how to live for God. And he'll tell you he has what he has tonight, and he's where he is tonight because those old men of God, when he was a baby Christian, brought him upon his journey. You said a while ago to all the people that has passed away, you have a story for all of them. I know what you're talking about. I'm getting ready to celebrate 34 years at the church I've been the pastor of now, almost 34 years of my life. And I've burned about 75 of ours, and I've got a story for them. And you know why you got a story and I got a story? Because we've been bringing one another upon their journey. And there's people that got saved under his preaching, and he taught them as babes in Christ, and they found out about Jesus and the Bible and the things of God because a man of God was in their life when they were a baby Christian, and he's brought them on their journey. Aren't you glad for those that invested in you? But nobody else invested in you. And by the way, when somebody walks the aisle on Sunday morning and trusts Christ, if they don't come back Sunday night acting like they've been saved for 50 years, shut up! Give them time to grow in the grace of God. Anybody here made any mistakes as a baby Christian? I think we better say, anybody made mistakes lately? Oh, but thank God for old Barnabas. Man, we don't preach much about Barnabas. We don't sing much about Barnabas. We don't even hardly name our kids Barnabas. We sure do love Paul. The Pauline epistles. Paul the preacher, Paul the missionary, Paul the example. But I'm telling you tonight, we're not for a Barnabas. You'd have never heard about a Paul. I want to tell you the problem in fundamentalism. Everybody wants to be a Paul, but nobody wants to be a Barnabas. Fella said to me the other day, he said, I'm troubled about something. And I said, what? He said, there's no Spurgeons in our day. I said, well, thank God. If they were, would you would let them preach for you because they got a beard.
Amen. 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 Good preaching, brother.
Hello.
Amen.
We don't have any Pauls in our day. I said, it's a good thing because you wouldn't let them preach for you because they got a robe on. Somebody said, where's the Roloffs? Where are the Sightlers? Where are the Mays Jacksons? I said, hey, where are the other preachers that got behind those men and backed those men and encouraged those men? And our day, everybody wants to be a leader, but nobody wants to be a follower. Listen, I may never preach like Paul. I may never pray like Paul. I may never write like Paul. I may not ever pastor like Paul, but I can be a Barnabas and bring somebody on their journey to help them be a Paul.
Amen.
Thank God for Barnabas, who brought Paul upon his journey. Paul, you got anybody else? I believe Paul would say, yes, sir, Brother Joe. While I'm thinking about it, I'd like to thank the Lord for Brother Onesiphorus. Now, Onesiphorus is hard to say when you get in a big way of preaching, so we're going to shorten his name and call him Brother O. Paul, what do you like about Onesiphorus? What do you like about him? And Paul would say, well, Brother Joe, when I began to serve the Lord and begin to be a preacher, hell got mad. And the devil done everything he could to destroy me. And Brother Joe, they treated me like a criminal. They would arrest me. They would incarcerate me. They would beat my back with rods and stripes. And they would throw me in a damp, dark, deserted, rat-infested hole in the ground called a prison. And Brother Joe, I suffered doing right. He said every time I wound up in the prison, I'd look around. And guess who would be standing at my cell helping me? Brother O.
Amen.
Brother Onesiphorus. You know what Paul said about Onesiphorus? Not once in a while, but often he refreshed me. And you know what he said about Brother O? He said, boy, what I love about him, he was not ashamed of my chains. Paul said he was not ashamed to be identified with old Brother Paul. Brother, in that day, it was such a stigma to be a Christian. If you identified with them, they would beat you too. They would whoop you too. They would incarcerate you too. But Onesiphorus said, beat me too, lock me up too. That's my preacher. That's my pastor. That's my man of God. And I'm not ashamed of him. And I'm staying with him. Look back over your life for 50 years has been, now this is not good English, but it's good preaching. There's been some Onesiphoruses. There's been some Onesiphorus. There's been some brother and sister O's in your life. And I love this, that were not ashamed. By the way, if you want to be ashamed of somebody, an old-fashioned Bible Holy Ghost preacher ain't somebody you need to be ashamed of.
Amen.
I'd been at our church about a year, and the first Mother's Day, this little lady coming to me, she said, you know Sunday's Mother's Day, don't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you going to behave yourself? I said, what? Are you going to behave yourself? I said, what do you mean by that? You know what I mean by that. Hollering and running and slobbering. And that preaching on hell. I said, what's wrong? She said, my son's coming Sunday. And I don't want you to run him off. Now, I've always been very respectful to my elders, my whole ministry. very respectful to my eldest. And I said, ma'am, let me ask you a question. Is your son lost and on his way to hell? She said, yes. I said, I can't run him. He's already off. What she is saying is, she was ashamed of the old-fashioned preacher man. And I'm telling you tonight, if I had a boy or a daughter that was lost and they were going to come to church with me, I'd say, turn it up, preacher. Turn it up, preacher. Turn it up, preacher. Preach. We don't have to be ashamed of the preacher. We don't have to be ashamed of the church. We don't have to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you who ought to be ashamed. The beer-drinking, hell-raising, devil-serving crowd. Them's the one that ought to be ashamed. If you're saved tonight and on your way to heaven, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. In fact, write it down. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to go to church. I'm not ashamed to go to a Baptist church. I'm not ashamed to go to a fundamental Baptist church. I'm not trying to erase my heritage. I'm trying to pass it on to another generation. I need to calm down. This is just a birthday party. It ain't no... Lord God, I get stirred up. And if I hear one more knothead say, I'm going to reinvent fundamentalism. Who do you think you are? Brother, when Elijah passed that mantle down to Elijah. Well, when Elijah passed that mantle down to Elijah. Or as they say on the mountains where I'm from, when Elijah passed that mantle down to Elijah. He didn't change the mantle. He didn't disdain the mantle. He didn't poke fun of the mantle. He embraced it. He wanted it. And he found out, whoop, it still works. Can I just say this in passing? The Bible he's preached for 50 years, it still works. And the singing that he did for 50 years still works. And the blood and the cross and the message of the gospel for 50 years still works. Don't be ashamed. Paul said something else I love about Onesiphorus. He refreshed my spirit. I looked up that little word, refreshed, and I about had me a conniption fit. You know what that little word, refresh, means? It was a sailor's term. When a vessel had been on a long voyage, and it hadn't reached its destination yet. The sails would get tattered. The supplies would get depleted. And the sailors would get tired. But they would see the light shining in somebody's harbor. And they would pull into that harbor. And they would refresh, replenish the ship. In other words, they would put on the ship what they needed to make the rest of the trip. Boy, how many times on our way to glory have we got tired and depleted and weary. But we'd see the light shining, glory. And we'd pull into somebody's harbor and they would refresh our spirit. They would put back in our life what we needed to make the rest of the trip. Thank God tonight for those in our life that has brought us upon our journey. Amen. Through the storms, through the troubles, through the trials. Amen. Thank God for Barnabas. Thank God for Onesiphorus. I believe Paul would say, Brother Joe, there's many, but you know we got to go eat. So let me give you one more. Paul, who did God use in your life to bring you on your journey? And Paul would say, man, I'd be amiss if I didn't just say, thank God for Luke. Paul, what does Luke mean so much to you for? He'd say, Brother Joe, He not only brought me on my journey, he stayed with me to the end of my journey. He was there when I made the last step of my journey. Paul spends his last week of his life in a Mamertine prison. And he looks around, and by his own admission, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. First answer. By the way, he's not the only one that got it wrong the first time he answered. But he said, I took another look, and I saw something. Sitting over in the corner, under a little light, was old Brother Luke. And Paul said, you know what I've done, Brother Joe? I got my mind off of the Demases that forsook me. And I started thanking God for the loot.
Amen.
Can I just say this tonight? You know what it takes a real Christian and a real spirit-filled man to do? Have the Spirit and the Word of God and Jesus to help you get your mind off of the demons. Son, you know what they look like. You know what they smell like. And you know what they act like. And if God would give you the permission, you'd roll their yard. Because I can hear it now. Now, Pastor, we love you and everything. I like that love part. It's that everything that follows it usually discourages me. Now, don't you take this personal. My wife said, next person said that to her, she's going to slap him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Personal? Would you want a pastor that didn't take you and your family personal? No. Now, we love you and everything. And don't take it personal. We gone. That's what it means. But wait a minute. I was there when your mama died. I don't care. But wait a minute. I left my vacation to bury your father. I don't care. I was with you when your daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. I don't care. I was with you when your son got thrown in jail. I don't care. I'm believing. Don't take it personal. Come on. That's what you want to say. And if you let that get in you, it'll steal your happy, it'll kill your dream, it'll blur your vision, it'll rob you of your joy. But you know what? Let's get our eyes off of the Demases and thank God for the loot. Paul said, write her down, Luke is with me. Luke is with me. I got Luke. And guess what Luke was? He was a doctor. And I just want to say this tonight. If you got your own personal doctor that goes with you everywhere, you something. I got sick the other day and called my doctor. He said, I'm booked up for 6 months. I said, forget it, I'll be dead. And I told my wife, if something happens to me, you put on my tombstone. Don't call him. He don't care. But more than a doctor, you know what Luke was? What Paul needed when he needed it the most. For 50 years, you know what the Lord has done for you, sir? He's given you everything and everybody you need. When you needed it the most. Glory. They didn't run. I love this one. Move my letter. Baptists have kept the postal service in business. I said to one today, I said, I ain't going to give you no letter, bless God. I'm going to email your next preacher. How you like that? I'll send them a text. But for 50 years, God gave you what you needed when you needed it the most. You feel like walking around a minute?
Yeah.
Come on, walk with me. Here's Paul. No, sir, I'm just 55. I can't take it. Paul and Luke, together, brother, down there to the end of the journey. And I can see Paul look over at old Luke and say, Luke, yes. I see him coming. Luke, the time of my departure is at hand. The captain is stepping out on the gangplank, calling me by name. Oh boy, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. Woo! And I kept the faith. Look a yonder, I see a crown coming my way.
Amen.
One of these days, I'm going to trade my cross for a crown. Old Luke takes Paul right up there to the journey. Paul sticks his foot down there in the river and starts testing the waters. And in a few moments, he sets sail for another country. And said, Luke, I'll see you in a little while. And oh, while Luke is on this side waving, there he goes. There's a crowd on the other side of saying, here he comes. Oh, and aren't you glad for those that didn't desert you? They didn't disappoint you. They didn't forsake you. Praise God, they just stayed with you to the end of the journey. You say, preacher, I don't have anybody in my life that stayed with me like that. I'm telling you, you've got a friend tonight. You've got a companion tonight. You've got the family of God. You've got the body of Christ. You've got Jesus and the blood and the Holy Ghost. We are not forsaken to the end of the journey, and then we'll never be alone in glory. Because somebody has brought you upon your journey. Thank God for those tonight who stayed with you till you reached your destination. Think about it tonight. If Paul needed somebody to bring him on his journey, don't you think we do too? And in closing tonight, I want to congratulate this church for your journey.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He brought you on your journey.
Amen.
Then I want to congratulate this man of God on your journey.
Yes.
And they have brought you on your journey.
Amen.
I think this is what heaven's going to be like. I'll look at my friends and say, thank you. They'll look at me and I'll say, well, you're welcome. And I'll look at them and I'll say, thank you. And they'll say, you're welcome. And then we'll all look at Jesus and say, thank you.
Amen.
Boy, if Jesus looks at me and says, you're welcome, Lord, I'm going to have me a spell.
Amen.
That you may bring me upon my journey. Let's stand together, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Lord, you've put so many good people in our life to bring us on our journey. What a joy. What a privilege. Lord, as this church celebrates 50 years with a founding pastor, Lord, you've just brought them on their journey. Lord, help us to be a blessing to others like others have been a blessing to us. Help us go find others and bring them on their journey. Be faithful till you come for us. We'll love you tonight and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.